You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this episode of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. I'm Grant Bagby. Joining me today is Dan Sorensen from Rivals.com. Dan provides a ton of youth coverage for anything hoops and football recruiting related. He's a great follow on Twitter. If you don't follow him, you know, Dan, I'll just let you speak for yourself. How about you give our listeners where they can find you and where to follow you on Twitter?
Sure. Twitter handle is D Sorensen. That's S-O-R-E-N-S-E-N. And then, of course, at Ute Zone as well is a good place to find me and things that I write.
Yes. All right. Well, I mean, and do emphasize the E-N. We don't want to find the whoever the other Dan Sorensen or D Sorensen may be with an O-N. I'm sure that person exists.
I'm sure they do.
That was weird. Well, Dan, you know, obviously the biggest day of the year, I imagine, for you just happened last week in a National Letter of Intent Day or Signing Day or however you want to call it. How would you – I'm sure you've already – people who have been at Rivals probably already heard this, but how would you grade the Utah recruiting class?
You know, it was a really good class for a lot of reasons. It's not the best ever in terms of nationally ranked class and when where they stand in the pecking order under the Kyle Whittingham regime. But, you know, on paper, it's as good a class as I've ever seen, especially when you consider the fact that they had so many needs and they met them in the way that the Utes met those needs. So, for example, quarterback. We know that Travis Wilson is leaving. We know that there's going to be a new starter, that there are a lot of question marks. So they went out and got two top-flight quarterbacks in. You know, one of the top JUCO quarterbacks in the nation in Troy Williams, and then the Florida High School Gatorade Player of the Year in Tyler Huntley. And so both of these guys are coming in for spring camp. They're already both on campus. So the fact that they're going to be here for spring, they're going to be able to compete for that job. You know, so that a huge need that was met and really good players on top of that. They did the same thing with linebacker, landing David Luafatasanga, who was committed to Ole Miss for nearly a year by the time that the Utes were able to flip in. And they got Curtis Taufa from Snow College, another solid JUCO linebacker. They got the Thompson kid out of Miami Central High School, who, you know, looks on film at least like, you know, the next incarnation of Johnny Paul. So, you know, the fact that they had needs, they went out and met them. They were able to beat some really, really good programs to get the kids in. This is certainly the deepest class I've ever seen Kyle Whittingham bring in, and it has a chance to be the best. We won't know for another 4 years, really, you know, where they actually stand up. You know, it's all speculation at this point, but there are a lot of reasons for Ute fans to be optimistic, and, you know, I certainly, you know, a solid, you know, the worst grade I'd give this class is an A-. They landed on so many just really important targets, and they were able to get a majority of the kids that they really wanted.
Yeah, no, I mean, as a follower of Utah football, I was really impressed with some of these kids. I mean, you know, let's talk about the quarterback situation, because everyone's looking at Huntley and Williams coming in, and then even Brandon Cox has been with the program for so long. I mean, what are your expectations at that quarterback spot as we inch closer and closer to spring football?
Yeah, I expect a street fight in terms of that position battle. You know, you look at, you know, you mentioned Brandon Cox. You know, he's been in the program for 2 years. He's been injured a lot. You know, he's had a hard time staying healthy. But, you know, if I were him and I was listening to all these people talk about how great these incoming guys are, I'd be hopping mad and I'd be ready to fight for that job. I don't think he's going to lay down and concede it. You know, he's got some things that he brings to the table, and it's going to be interesting to see how he responds and whether he rises to the occasion. You know, Williams has, in my mind, you know, the little bit I've seen Cox play, what I've seen on film from Williams, what I've seen on film from Huntley. You know, if I had to bet on it, you know, Williams would be the guy I would bet on winning the job. He brings so much to the table in terms of decision-making, first and foremost. And really, the quarterback spot at Utah, you know, because you're going to have a strong offensive line, because you're going to have good running backs and a strong running game, you know, decision-making is going to be probably the most important thing. And so the fact that he can read defenses, you know, he can make people pay for blitzes, he can make people pay when they make coverage mistakes, you know, he can find open guys, you know, that sort of thing is going to be really key. You know, and then some of those things are things that Travis Wilson did not do so well. And, you know, Wilson was a fantastic quarterback for the Utes, and I don't want to take anything away from him, but, you know, he did have some deficiencies in his game, and so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, a guy that I expect to be able to step up and not have those deficiencies, and to see if it opens up that offense a little bit. So Williams is the guy that I think is the odds-on favorite now. Huntley, you know, in terms of athleticism, he's probably the best athlete of the bunch. But once again, he's a true freshman, literally weeks out of being a senior in high school, and he's going in not only having to adjust to life far away from home, but adjust to the college environment and adjust to the speed of the college game. And so it's a tall order for him when he gets into spring camp to see what he can do. If he performs well and if he outplays both of those guys, that means good things for the Utah football program, because that means he's that good. It's also not a failure if he struggles a little bit early, because the college game is so much faster, because he's dealing with so much and he's learning the playbook. And, you know, it's a lot to expect of a young man, especially at that age, to step in and do that. And so it's going to be interesting to see how he adjusts. It's going to be interesting to see how quickly he picks things up and how hard Cox fights. And so it's going to be fun to watch those three guys go at it. And all three of those guys are going to get ample opportunities to win the job.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of an exciting time, at least in my opinion, from an offensive side, because I feel like you've got three playmakers at quarterback, and one of them's going to be your starter, and the other ones are going to be waiting in the wings, just chomping at the bit. So ultimately, at the quarterback position, as a Utah follower, I mean, you can't be any more than thrilled at the quarterback situation. You know, something that is interesting about signing day versus what happens later on is you never know what's going to happen. But if you were to pick someone from this recruiting class that, you know, everyone's excited about now maybe, but we're not going to see in highlights, who do you think is going to be the biggest contributor to the Utes, you know, in the future?
Oh, man, there's a lot of different candidates for that kind of thing. You know, it's funny. So you look at a guy like Garrett Bowles, you know, so the highest rated recruit in the class. When people watch film, hard to watch film of offensive linemen, because people really can't see, you know, what these guys are doing well or not, other than if they're physically dominating guys. But, you know, he's a guy that, you know, when it comes to a position that's maybe not so heralded, it could be really special. This is a guy that was the offensive MVP of his entire JUCO conference at left tackle. I mean, think about that. Think about all the quarterbacks and the running backs and the wide receivers and the guys that he passed up to get those honors. So that's how good he is. And that's, you know, the kind of impact that he can make that, you know, that maybe the average fan wouldn't pay attention to, wouldn't notice, but, you know, it could be special. You know, maybe the less obvious guys that you were asking about, guys that I expect to be really good, to make a strong impact. Sunisi Lauaki, who's going to be a sign-and-send, so he's going to serve his two-year mission before he enrolls, is a guy that I think has a chance to be really, really special. USC pushed really hard for him. He's a Southern California kid. The fact that he said no to USC, he said no to UCLA, decided to honor his commitment to, commitment to Utah speaks volumes about the job the Utes did in recruiting him and getting him in the fold. As far as from a playing standpoint, he's explosive. He fires off the ball. He's a defensive end right now. It's going to be interesting to see how heavy he gets during his mission. He's a guy I could absolutely see, you know, putting on 40 pounds on his mission and playing defensive tackle and, you know, being, you know, a guy that is, if he can maintain his speed and quickness, you know, we're talking, you know, Starlo Tulele type quickness and firing off the ball. So he's a guy that could be really special. A guy that maybe will contribute a little bit earlier than that is Leckie Fotu, who's, of course, out of Harriman High School. He's a local kid. Didn't have a huge star rating on the rival system. Was ridiculously underrated and probably unfairly underrated because he was arguably the first or second best high school football player in the state of Utah this year on the field with results. You know, this is a kid that he's 6'6", a legit 6'6", weighs in the 260, 270 range, is probably the best high school-aged rugby player in the country, was a starting power forward on his basketball team down in Harriman, is fast, runs as well as some wide receivers in the state at that size, is as quick as they come, has great feet, and is explosive. You know, he's raw. And I think that that's, you know, maybe why he was under the radar of some of the national evaluators. You know, he's still got some learning to do in terms of football, but that's nothing that the Utah coaching staff can't handle. I mean, they develop defensive line talent as well, if not better than anybody else in the nation. And this kid, from a pure physical standpoint and a pure athleticism standpoint, is as good as anybody that's come into the program. And so he's somebody that could play as a true freshman, assuming everything goes well in fall camp, and certainly is physically ready for that sort of thing. But he's a guy that fans should be really, really excited about. Once again, another kid with a USC offer said no to USC to come to Utah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of that was kind of an interesting thing about this class. It's like, there are a few guys on here as I'm, I've got the class right in front of me, and players that pop out to me as people that made decisions on are big recruits that made decisions on February 4th. Zach Moss comes to mind. You've already mentioned, and here's the first time I will pronounce his name, Lua Fatasanga. Sorry, Dave.
Hold on.
I butchered your name already. And, you know, some of these other guys that were really day of decisions, which of them do you feel is probably the biggest get of those day of decisions?
Yeah, things went really well for the Utes on signing day. The two that you mentioned are huge. You know, Moss, the fact that, let's think about this for a minute here. So this is a kid from the Miami area, from South Florida, that was committed to the University of Miami, decommitted and flipped to Utah. And then Tennessee from SEC country comes on strong late, and he says no to them as well. Now, a lot of that had to do with the fact that his two teammates were already early enrollees, but a lot of that also had to do with the fact that, you know, Dennis Erickson did a phenomenal job recruiting him. And this is a kid that if he can show that he can pass block, he'll play as a freshman. He's that good. And he's the kind of guy, especially because I think that, you know, yes, Joe Williams is coming back, but I think Utah would rather see a few more guys back taking reps at running back so that they're not, you know, running a guy into the ground, kind of like what happened with Devontae Booker last year. So Moss is a kid that could be as good as anybody else in the class. Lua Fatasanga, the Ole Miss commit that flipped to Utah, that was a huge get once again. You know, a position of need. You know, the Utes had a lot of talent graduating at linebacker, and this is a kid that is talented enough that he could step in and make a big contribution early. So that was big. You know, of the other guys, there were a couple of in-state guys that committed. Keaton Bills is going to probably be a defensive tackle for the Utes by the time he's done with his mission. He can be special. The Putuf Tau kid was a big win for Utah, and that looked a little dicey at the end. So really all of those guys are guys that Utah fans can be excited about. You know, I think that Moss is probably the best pure football player of all of them, but every single one of those guys that were the signing day commits Cole Fotheringham was the other one that some people thought might be up in the air, that stuck with his commitment to, over a late push from BYU. But all of those guys are guys that I expect to be strong, solid contributors. They all have a chance to be starters at some point in their career. And so it was just a great way for the Utes to finish off strong.
Now, I, out of curiosity, is I did an interview with Zach Moss a few weeks ago, and, you know, getting the vibe from him is it, he was a pretty solid commit to Utah. I was just curious, I mean, how much of a fight did Tennessee put, and how much do you think he strongly considered them?
You know, I talked to him right after his Utah trip and right before this Tennessee trip. And he, first of all, a great kid. He's a good interview. He's a really smart, sharp guy that, you know, and he was, you know, he when he was going through this process, you know, he was pretty measured in the way that, in the things that he was looking at. And, you know, he was not starstruck. He knew exactly what he wanted in a program. He knew exactly what he was looking for in a college experience. And so as he was taking this trip, especially to Tennessee, you know, he was open. He was going to listen to them. But they have a long way to go in terms of unseating Utah. After he had taken his visit to Salt Lake City, had seen what the campus was like, had seen what the program is like and the culture inside the program, it was kind of a no-brainer. And so Tennessee did make that push. They tried, but, you know, I think in the back of his mind that he never really let go of the fact that he wanted to be a Ute, he wanted to play with his teammates, and he wanted to be a part of this program that Cal Whittingham has built.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, shifting a little bit more to the coaches, I mean, you know, you gave the grade A minus at the lowest. I mean, who do you think was kind of the star coach as far as beating the recruiting trail and helping recruit these players?
You know, and one of the things that people need to understand, especially when you look at the coaches and how they approach recruiting, especially at Utah, is it really is a team effort. You know, so you'll have the coach that's responsible for a certain geographic area, but, you know, the coordinator is heavily involved, the position coach of the player is heavily involved, the Coach Whittingham is heavily involved. And so, you know, for every single kid that signed with Utah, there were four or five coaches that kind of that interacted with him throughout the process. And so, but when you're looking at guys that were lead recruiters, you know, a couple of them stand out. You know, Dennis Erickson, you know, enough can't be said about what he has done in South Florida the last couple of years and the fact that he was able to get, you know, five commitments from the Miami area, guys that had other opportunities, all of them had other offers, all of them had the chance to be strong contributors. You know, we talked about the Hallandel trio. We've talked about Donovan Thompson a little bit, the linebacker out of Miami Central, who is a late addition and is a guy that from a personality standpoint, from a skill set standpoint, should fit in pretty nicely into the program. You know, he's a very, you know, meat and potatoes, get down to business, blue collar type of guy. And that, you know, those are the kind of guys that just thrive in Kyle Whittingham's system. So Erickson was fantastic. Morgan Scally was lights out. He was all over the place this year. You know, he was the lead for a bulk of the guys that were in state. You know, Garrett Bowles was a big one. Morgan Scally and Jim Harding, you know, really teamed up to help on that one. But, you know, Puchu Tau, Bills, Johnny Maia was a Morgan Scally recruit. Down in Texas, Nigel King, the cornerback, who was the top cornerback on their board, was a Morgan Scally recruit. And so, and then, of course, he was involved with all of those guys that on the defensive side of the ball, especially after he got the job of defensive coordinator. So, you know, Scally, this is probably his best effort since he's been on the Utah staff in terms of a recruiter. Another one that to pay attention to is Sharif Shah. You know, he's a guy that has really come into his own as a recruiter. And, you know, the Burgess kid out of the San Diego area that picked Utah over Cal, you know, Shah was really instrumental in closing that deal. Shah was tremendously influential in holding off USC for Lauaki. And really, without Sharif Shah, I don't think that the Utes hang on to Lauaki. And so, you know, It was a really strong effort across the board. Fred Whittingham deserves a lot of credit. While he, wasn't on the road recruiting for very long, because he was only a position coach for a month before signing day, he was the guy that was spearheading all of the recruiting efforts and doing all of the behind the scenes work, to help, land these kids in terms of leading the team that does all the scouting, that does all the mailings, that does all the social media stuff, that helps organize the official visits, and all these things. And so there was nobody on that staff that knew more about what was going on the recruiting front than Freddie Whittingham. And when he got on the road, he was just a big asset in helping hang on to guys, and especially guys like Cole Fotheringham. And so I know it was a long-winded answer, and you asked for one guy, and I gave you like six. But really, it was a team effort, and that's how it works at Utah, And it's all of these coaches are expected to recruit, and that's job number one for every single one of them. And their value as a recruiter is far more important than their value as a teacher on the field or an instructor or a talent developer. They're expected to recruit. They're expected to scout guys that fit well into the system, that are tough, smart kids, that fit well into the culture of the program, and that can, can help Kyle Whittingham win. And so we're starting to see a lot of these guys come into their own as recruiters, and especially recruiting at a place like Utah in a unique situation like Utah. And, it's been fun to watch that.
Yeah, I mean, just, something that I don't know people think about when, is the change with Scally taking over the defense. I actually spoke with Terrell Burgess, and his main recruiter prior to that was Coach Pease, and he was really looking forward to playing for Coach Pease, and somewhat disappointed that he wasn't going to be the coach anymore. And as you mentioned, Coach Shaw came in, cleaned up, and I'm sure Coach Pease will be around the program still. But maybe speak to how much or how good of a recruiter Coach Pease was, and how much the team may or may not miss him as a recruiter.
Pease was a fantastic recruiter, mostly because just, if you've been around him at all, he's a guy you want to hang out with, and, people joke that, he's old as dirt or whatever. And yeah, he's up there in age, but, Terrell Burgess, told me, he's like, Pease is the funniest guy I've ever met in my entire life. He said that exact thing to me more than once when I would ask him about Pease. And he's like that, he's always ready with a quip. He's a hilarious guy, and kids really related to him. Besides the fact, that he was an older guy, but the fact that he had so much experience, there was nothing he hadn't seen. He had a lot of NFL experience. People, really respected him, and so it is a little bit of a loss in terms of the personality that he brought to the table. And like you said, I expect him to be around the program. He was around the program, for several years before he was hired as defensive coordinator. This was always the plan, that they were going to bring him in for a year or two, let Morgan, take that year or two to get ready to be DC. And really, Scally, to his credit, stepped up in a big, big way over the last season and was extremely involved and in lockstep with Pease as he was getting ready to take over that job. So I think it made the Pease's decision to retire, a little bit easier, because it is a grind for these guys to be on the road and, to get on the airplane so often and go out, and then the long hours that are required in terms of game planning and preparation. It's a pretty rigorous pace. And so, you can't blame the guy for wanting to kind of hang him up and step back and enjoy things a little bit. So he'll be missed, but at the same time, Scally's more than ready. He's a smart guy. He's an energetic guy, and he's fired up about the opportunity that he has in front of him.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, Dan, it's been fun talking to you. It's always exciting as the recruiting classes get set, and I'm looking forward to spring ball here shortly. We'll have to catch up to you then.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.